Yeah, no, I would just encourage people to, if they're not already, sort of start looking towards the marketing that they see. It's around us everywhere we go. We can't miss it. So just stealing, you know, visual ideas from billboards or ads you see on TV or online, and look at those for things that you can steal and use in your work.
I'd go back to my content strategy. I always say you can't put lipstick on a pig. So if your content isn't up to par, you know, it won't make a difference no matter how beautiful your visuals are. So just make sure that you have them aligned and you have a good content strategy in place.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from. My name is Matt Pierce, host of the Visual Lounge. Today, we're going to be talking about something, and I don't want you to turn away if you're not into L&D, but we want to take some ideas and take some of the best ideas and steal them from marketing. I think if you're not in L&D, this still applies because marketing is a wealth of resources, a wealth of knowledge, and a lot of great opportunities that are available for us to learn from. So let me go ahead and introduce our guests. First of all, meet Bianca, a senior learning strategist with over 15 years in learning development. Specializing in a nexus of marketing and L&D, she utilizes data, learning personas, and content strategy for predictive and personalized learning strategies. Bianca has led award-winning projects in various sectors, emphasizing innovative L&D approaches to drive organizational growth. Her approach leverages existing tools to enhance learning without the need for significant new investments, focusing on learner outcomes to meet and exceed growth and revenue targets through effective onboarding and reskilling programs. Next up, we got Mike Taylor, who is a leading learning consultant committed to transforming dull training into compelling learning experiences. With a wealth of L&D experience and a deep understanding of learner frustrations, he excels in simplifying complex concepts into accessible content. Mike's approach is driven by curiosity and a pursuit of efficiency, aiming to deliver engaging learning at just the right moment. Specializing in public speaking, instructional design, and the latest learning technologies, Mike strives to optimize learning outcomes and organizational performance. With that all said, please welcome Mike and Bianca to the Visual Lounge.
Hello.
Hello. Well, both, welcome so much. I'm so glad that you guys are here. We're going to dive right in with the conversation today, and we're going to start with you, Mike. We're going to ask you a question. What's one tip? Because we always like to get a tip out there that's very practical. What's a tip that you could give our audience about using either images or video to help enhance the work that they do?
Well, I think this being the Visual Lounge, I'm sure this has been covered before, but we'll reiterate that the fact that, you know, it's very easy and effective to let your visuals carry a large part of your messaging. I think sometimes, especially in learning, some people sort of lose sight of that concept. So we'll stick right with the whole visual theme of the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with that said, let's talk about this idea of visuals, about marketing and L&D, because here's where I want to start, because I've been thinking about this. I happen to sit in that position where I'm actually in a marketing department. My background is in learning development, so I maybe I'm the weirdo here in the world of, you know, made that jump. But I'm curious, what led the two of you to look at, like, the things that marketing's doing that apply to learning and development?
Yeah, I'll jump in here, if that's okay. Yes. Yeah. One of my very first jobs in learning was that I was an education specialist for Alibaba, which is now part of Oracle. And so my job was actually to educate marketers on how to be better marketers using our software. And I kind of saw the parallels between learning and development, that it's all about trying to get someone's attention. Kind of the journey started from there.
Absolutely. Mike, what about you?
So I also sort of, I think we're all three peas in a pod here in the sense that we've all had kind of similar backgrounds. And I spent several years in a digital marketing agency. And so one of our missions was educating, similar to what Bianca was just talking about there, educating marketers who do digital selling and digital marketing. So it really highlights that point that Bianca making is, marketers and learning professionals have the same two goals, right? So we're trying to get people's attention and we're trying to get them to do something typically. And so I think with those shared goals, there's a lot of overlap going both directions of things that we can steal from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the first one, getting attention. I think obviously that's challenging. I think from my perspective, you know, marketing has to do that because there's so much competition, right? There's just so much marketing. We're bombarded with the advertisement. In learning and development, it feels like it's a slightly different type of need because it's not necessarily that they're getting bombarded with all this learning and development. It's that they're getting bombarded with literally everything else. And so from your perspective, what can we do? How can we learn to get that attention better? Are there tricks? Are there tips? Are there things that we should be paying attention to that maybe we're not?
I think the first thing is exactly what you're talking about here, is to recognize that we are in this competition and we are competing for attention. So, you know, maybe it's not advertising or marketing stuff, but so even if we're at work, you know, we're getting emails and phone calls and all kinds of stuff. So just recognizing that, you know, probably more so today than ever before, we don't really have a kind of quote unquote captive audience. So just because you've got somebody to come in and take your e-learning course, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to pay attention. You may have small opportunities or small windows of opportunity for getting people's attention, which makes it really important that when you have the opportunity to make the best of it.
And to add to that, I think, yeah, the way we look at marketing, it's like twofold. So for us, marketing, it's less about the promotion of, you know, the assets that we're creating is part of it. But we are really looking at how can you use marketing techniques and tools to actually design better, which then, you know, you can still obviously, as Mike was just saying, get the attention within like an e-learning module or whatnot, because, you know, in our minds, no one comes to work to say, today I want to log into the LMS. but even once they're finally logged in, which might take a while, you know, we want to make sure that we can grab that attention. And for me, that happens obviously through visuals, what we just talked about, and images. But for me, it's also the right content, right? And this might sound, I don't know what it might sound like actually, but it might be surprising for some people to think about content to get attention. But, you know, the way we also think about marketing is like, how can we write better? How can we write enticing course titles, for example? Right. So for me, that definitely goes into that attention piece as well.
Okay. So if I'm a learning development professional and I've not had the experience that we've had with marketing, this feels like, okay, well, you know, I've seen a lot of marketing throughout my life. Maybe it feels a little bit like, you know, like, because marketing, you sometimes we get accused of, you know, like doing stuff that maybe isn't valid learning or good, or, you know, it's like just grab their attention, you know, but how does someone go about learning to do some of these things? Because let's talk about like writing a course title that's going to grab somebody's attention. That feels like this should be kind of easy, but I know it's not. Like I've experienced that. I've written plenty of titles of podcasts, shows, learning courses, marketing copy that is just, you know, not great. So how should someone go about doing this? If they want to take this idea for marketing, let's say, again, we could use the writing a course title as an example. How do you get better at that? Where do you go to even figure out what's good or what works? Well, so, I know, stop you guys. That's like,
if she was going to start at me, but so I'll jump in here and Bianca can correct me if I make any mistakes or miss anything. But so that's a great example. I love that you brought that up. And, you know, that's another example of, you know, you have this opportunity, you have their attention, whether they're reading their title or a headline. And the vast majority of the time, you know, people will base whether they're going to read or watch the rest of your content based on that title. So marketers know this, that the importance of titles and headlines is huge. And people who understand that, like yourself, and it sounds like you spend quite a bit of time on your titles. So to be able to learn how to do that is I don't think it's a natural, intuitive process. I know myself, when I first started working at Articulate, I started writing my first blog post, and I put a title on it, and it's just very logical and matter of fact. And I was working for Tom Coolman at the time, and he sent it right back. That he probably didn't read it. He's like, this title is going to put me to sleep. It's really boring. And so there are some tools. Share Through, CoSchedule has a headline title tool. There are some email subject line tools that you can use to put your titles in, and it will give you feedback. So it will tell you how to make better ones. It'll give you a score. In our workshop, we have an activity where we have a little competition and give people really boring compliance headlines. Let them use those tools and see what they can come up with. That's always a fun process to watch people go through.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. It's an art and a science, and there's unfortunately not one place you can go to learn this. It takes practice. But I would, yeah, definitely encourage everyone to go out and get inspired what you see out there in blog posts and marketing blog posts and whatnot. Content Marketing Institute, I think it's called. They actually have like a really great website with tons of resources in general. I'm sure you can find a gem on there. And the last piece of advice I would give is put yourself into your learner's shoes, right? So just empathizing with your learner, which now goes into this persona idea that obviously comes from marketing. But yeah, think about your learner being overwhelmed with all the things, all the noise. And yeah, what headline, what title actually sparks interest?
So I love the idea of, you know, having the empathy for your learner, you know, putting yourself out there and practicing. And obviously there's great tools out there. When you guys are doing your workshops or talking to L&D folks, do they ever get worried about like, well, but, you know, clickbait, like clickbait's a thing that if you don't know what clickbait is, if you're listening to this, it's the idea that you wrote a title that's meant to get you to click, but it's actually never delivers quite on the promise. So is there a concern that, I mean, sometimes marketing, and I want to be careful here because I live in the marketing world, not judging marketers, but sometimes it can feel like, you know, that kind of like, this isn't appropriate for what we do in the learning side, or are most people open to it? Because I remember, and this has been years ago, kind of having those feelings before, like, I wouldn't do what a marketer does because, oh, we're L&D. We are research-based and learning, you know, like, and I don't know if that's a sense that people have anymore. So I'd be curious on your thoughts of what you guys see.
It never happened, Mike, did it? Like, usually people are super excited to just get in there, especially if we give them that tool, and because they get a score, so they can really have a little competition. My score is better than your score. However, what I would say to people that might be concerned about this, yes, you have to make sure you carry through on your promise, whatever your headline is. So what I mean by that is it goes back to good content. Like, I'm a big proponent of a solid content strategy to make sure you're delivering the right content to the right time at the right place to the right people. And so if you create your content well, you know, the headline is just the icing on the cake for me.
Yeah. And I would also say, I want to make a difference between good marketers and bad marketers. So I think we're trying to steal from the good ones. Bad marketers are salesy and pushy and that stereotypical thing, which I think is unfortunate. And the difference is, to me, you know, good marketers and good salespeople are helpful and helping their customers or potential customers or clients or for learning, right? We're obviously trying to be helpful for our audience as well. So I think I want to clarify and make that distinction of we're talking about good marketers.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Good. We only work with good marketers. So, So we've got this idea of kind of like some of the content, you know, the way that you're trying to grab attention. What else should we as a kind of a learning development field, as creators, what should we be looking at else that we should borrow from that marketing's doing really well?
I would say for me, the first thing is the role of emotions, kind of the whole idea of what is our brain wired to pay attention to. So sort of our primal brain is wired for certain things where, you know, our brain is a big prediction machine. So we've got all of these heuristics that are sort of hard-coded into our brain that we've acquired, you know, since childhood. And if it sees a PowerPoint slide with 25 bullet points and a whole big wall of text, the prediction audience the prediction system in our brain is saying this is boring and I'm going to tune it out. Whereas if we can do something, you know, unexpected, put a unique spin on a title or a headline, or use some visual, graphic, video content that sparks an emotional reaction, then the likelihood that we're going to get attention and all of the good things that follow from that is much higher.
And to piggyback off that emotional piece, perfect segue in mind, it's like we're doing this more often, is that, again, coming back to those personas, what I find fascinating in learning is that we often don't talk about what our learners are thinking and feeling. It's almost like we can't go there, right? But this is where we can identify what actually motivates them. So creating learner personas, or at a minimum, empathy maps to better understand what the day-to-day looks like for our learners, what some of the challenges are, what delights them. But yeah, especially what they're thinking and feeling, because then from there, we can synthesize the pain points and their needs, and then we can actually create learner journeys and learning campaigns that relate to what they need.
Well, I love that. And I want to, Bianca, just real quick on that idea, how, like, because I've not actually put that connection together about thinking about the learning and the emotions that someone's having, you know, thinking about, like, well, you know, what's going on in their day, what might be impacting their kind of capacity or ability to focus. So what, I guess, let me, maybe it's, and maybe there's a better way to do this, but I'm thinking, like, when I'm creating either that persona or thinking about that particular, maybe it's a learning event that's going to happen, you know, that could be a video, that could be a course they're going to take, maybe it's something in person or whatever. What questions do you ask to kind of understand that? Are there questions that we could ask that would help us to understand maybe better the emotions that are, or the feelings or the things that might be happening inside that kind of that learner that typically I don't think we get to know, right?
Absolutely. Great question. So I like to keep them very generic, not so much focused on learning. That stuff always comes out anyway. And so when I'm referring to asking questions, it's in an interview. So you can do surveys, but what you're missing in the survey most of the time is those emotions, because you could ask them, how do you feel? But they probably won't tell you. So, you know, I have more generic questions just in general, like, hey, who are you? You know, what's your journey in this company? People love to talk about themselves, right? So, and then you just have to listen for cues. And, you know, other questions I ask is, you know, tell me about your day today. And then you see things popping up. And by default, I think the negative things always come out first. That's why I always ask what delights you as well, right? So very standard general questions. And then I just have some follow-up questions. I listen. So it kind of goes back a little bit to, it's an art and a science, and it takes practice. And depending on how the person you're interviewing, how open they are, you can actually dig a little bit deeper on those emotions and feelings. But yeah, it's a bit of an art and a science.
I love that, because I love that you're working towards getting to those things and bringing that out, because I know, again, it just from my experience as a marketer, we often think about those journeys that they're going through and what pain are they feeling, what's going to cause them to maybe not feel that pain, or what's going to be allow them to move forward. So I think that's really great. I do want to come up against another kind of, I think of a lot of this is like, maybe it's a chip on Matt's shoulder thinking about all these things. But one of the things I hear, and I've heard it in, you know, not just kind of internal L&D, but customer education, which, you know, is external customer education, is the disparity between marketing has budget, L&D doesn't. And that, you know, and I don't know, for like what we talked about so far, I don't think budget has really much to do with anything. However, it does feel like one of those walls of, you say, well, marketing has budget. Of course they can spend time on interviews. Of course they can do this. Of course they have tools that allow them to get better headlines. So how would you address that in terms of talking to us about, you know, not getting hung up on that, or maybe it is a real concern. I don't know. Thoughts?
I'll let Mike go first.
Yeah, well, I think one of the primary factors in the why it is that way, I think marketers have a more direct line to measuring the impact of what they do. So they can run a particular campaign and they can measure sales and say, you know, it went up or down based on this time period we were in the campaign. So I think that's one factor. is it's easier for marketers to get that direct feedback as far as, you know, how they're performing. And the other thing that I just want to circle back to you is, you know, your initial comment there when you said a lot of this stuff doesn't require a big budget. And so I think that's one thing that I want to call out is, you know, don't get hung up or stuck on the fact that, oh, I have no budget, so I can't do this. A lot of this is more a mindset and a perspective than it is money. Of course, everybody always wants more money, but the mindset, I think, is more important than the budget.
Yeah, I agree.
You could get scrappy with these things, right? Like, you can,
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in our workshops, we focus a lot on free tools. Sometimes we're like, hey, there's a small cost to it if you, you know, look at the tool side of things. But yeah, it is that mindset. And one thing I want to point out specifically, Matt, you talked about the interviews. Yes, that's a mindset. I've met a lot of L&D professionals that want to do these interviews. Where it sometimes gets dicey is just getting buy-in from the stakeholders, right? And to talk to these learners, to sit there in interviews. But yeah, I find, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. At a minimum, get those surveys in. But yeah, it's educating those stakeholders about, hey, we want to do things differently, and showing some examples of how it worked for other organizations, almost like benchmarking a little bit. And I know, Mike, you always say, right, call it a pilot, because it's easier to give money for a pilot and time and support than, you know, if you're trying to do a whole rollout for something.
Yeah. Do small chunks, right? Try a little bit. I know one of the things I've learned from marketing is test. Just, we always are testing something else. And even if something's successful, you might test another thing to see if you can keep making it a little bit better. Well, I want to ask you guys, you know, time obviously goes so quickly in these interviews. I'm curious, I've brought up a few things. What else should we be thinking about, I guess, stealing, borrowing, learning from marketing that we haven't touched on so far? Anything else that we definitely need to hit?
One thing I would throw out is, I think sometimes L&D people, I'm guilty of this myself, sometimes when we get stuck in our L&D world and our L&D box, especially when it comes to sort of tools and technologies and platforms and stuff, there is a massive world of marketing technology with tens of thousands of tools. So there are some really great marketing tools for interactive video, or I'm a huge fan of using email marketing platforms to deliver learning campaigns and tie that to events and things that are already happening in your learning program. And so, you know, that's one thing I would definitely say people should take a look at and you know, start checking out marketing tools that have direct usage for learning programs.
I love that. And I love the idea of, you know, email marketing. They've been doing the drip campaigns forever. We talk about learning, forgetting, and all that stuff. Well, they do it for attention, but why not for learning?
Yeah, for me, it's the more strategic piece around the learner journey, to kind of see, you know, what are the different elements a learner has to go through. That definitely comes from the marketing world, right? Where organizations look at, what are the steps for someone to go from, let's say, visiting a website for the first time to actually purchasing the product? And we can use that same idea in learning to think about, you know, let's just use onboarding as an example. What's that first step, probably first interview, even pre-onboarding, until, you know, they're done with the official onboarding program? What do those steps look like? What campaigns can I build within that learner journey? So that's where I definitely to start geeking at.
Yeah. Well, I want to move us to our speed round, but I want to, before we do that, I want to ask one more question. It's a bit more forward thinking. Obviously, you guys are looking at always across kind of what's coming, what's there. I guess, are there anything that you're seeing that marketing's doing right now that is getting you excited about bringing it over, that maybe you haven't had an opportunity to, or you're just starting to play with? And that could be technology, that could be concepts, ideas, because it does seem like there's a lot of evolution happening just in the way marketing works. So anything got you really excited and you're looking forward to?
Oh, gosh. I don't know anything new, like all of it. The old stuff hasn't worn off on me yet. And I think particularly in the learning world, like, it's still a relatively new thing. There are, you know, some small number of people, you know, like yourself that are talking about this stuff. So, you know, I'm still excited, you know, by the old stuff as well as the new stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add, to be honest, either, because I mean, marketing is finessing things, but there hasn't been, at least to my knowledge, any big developments. I mean, AI captures everything right now, not just marketing, but also learning and everything else. So yeah, I'm with Mike on this one. Let's just get the current methods into L&D, and then we'll see what else is on the horizon there.
Yeah, it will be an exciting time, whether it's AI or even just bringing it over email campaigns or, you know, I love that. I'll just say that just marketing, the ability to get data and a lot of data.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can do more of that in L&D just to prove out even like, hey, look at what this did. That would be pretty fantastic. So, well, Mike and Bianca, I warned you about this, but here we go. We're going to jump into our speed round. For those who are new to the show, these are quick, fast answers determined. The questions are determined by the roll of a die. So we're going to play a little intro stinger, and here we go. All right, so let's pull up our dice cam, all set up, and first roll the die. Bianca, we're going to make Mike go first, so that way you get a sense of what's going on here. So Mike, here's question number 7. What's a hobby or interest you've always wanted to pursue but haven't had the chance to as of yet? So any hobby or interest?
This is going to out myself as a senior citizen here. But during the pandemic, you know, being outside was a lot bigger part than even usually is the case. And I started noticing, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's this really cool bird. And so bird watching, I am now becoming interested in, which I think is an old person's thing. So I just recently put up a bird feeder in our window. I guess go up there in the afternoons and sort of see which birds are going to show up and have a little snack. So that's mine.
I love it. Nothing wrong with that, but maybe that's speaking to my age too. So, all right, Bianca, here we go. This is your die roll. Let's see where we get. Oh, that is confirming that is a one. It's a little weird on the angle. So I got to warn you, this is the one that people, they struggle a little bit with only because there's so many options. But if you could have dinner with any historical figure, or I guess it could be anybody today, if you could have dinner with anybody, who would it be and why?
Well, I'm originally from Germany, so I think I would actually go with Angela Merkel. I also just read her biography, and I was just fascinated. There were so many things I didn't know about her. I would love to have dinner with her.
I love it. That'd be awesome. Yeah. All right, let's do one more each. Mike, you ready?
As ready as I'm going to get.
That's what I figured. So, ooh, a 10. Here we go. Interesting. If you had a shift careers out of what you do today, kind of the world of learning development, and I'm going to say marketing too, because you're kind of bridging that gap. What would you do? You can do anything. What would you do?
Would be something travel related. So maybe be a travel guide for hiking or outdoors touring.
So you could go see more birds.
That's exactly. I hadn't thought of that, but that's perfect fit.
I love it. That would be exciting. So, all right, one more question here, Bianca. Here we go. Dice is rolling, yeah. And a 3. This is a good spread on the questions. So, Bianca, what's a piece of advice you could wish you could give your younger self? What would you tell young Bianca?
That is a good one. I'd say don't stress the small stuff. It'll all work out in the end.
Love it. Practical, good, easy. Mike and Bianca, it's just always a pleasure to talk with you both, to get to learn from you and share in some of the wisdom that you both have. As we start to wrap up here, let's just have you share how people can connect with you if they're interested. Mike, we'll have you go first this time.
Yeah, so my website is mike-taylor.org. I send a free weekly email newsletter that covers a lot of the stuff we talked about today. And I'm also on LinkedIn as well, and pretty easy to find in general online.
Yeah, and great newsletter. Definitely check it out. How about you, Bianca? How can people connect with you?
Yeah, LinkedIn is definitely the go-to for me. And then my website is biancabauman.com. 2 N's. Just make sure you got that in there.
Perfect. We won't even ask who the one N it goes to. So that's, I don't know.
That's very for these days.
There's a domain in your future to buy if you can. So as we wrap up the show, we always like to ask our guests for their final take. We'll just keep in going with a Mike first approach. So, Mike, what is your final take?
Yeah, no, I would just encourage people to, if they're not already, sort of start looking towards the marketing that they see. It's around us everywhere we go. We can't miss it. So just stealing, you know, visual ideas from billboards or ads you see on TV or online, and look at those for things that you can steal and use in your work.
Absolutely. And Bianca, how about you? What's your final take?
I'd go back to my content strategy. I always say you can't put lipstick on a pig. So if your content isn't up to par, you know, it won't make a difference no matter how beautiful your visuals are. So just make sure the two of them align and you have a good content strategy in place.
Perfect. Love it from both of you. Thank you so much for joining me in the Visual Lounge.
Thank you, man. It was great. Scott.
Yeah. All right, everybody. As we wrap up the show, Bianca and Mike, what great ideas. I love that they're making this connection between the things that people do in L&D, marketing, and bringing that in, because there's so many great ideas, tools that apply. Because again, we've got the same types of focus. We want to see people's behaviors change. We want to grab their attention. We want them to be able to learn, grow, develop. And of course, that's our whole purpose here in the Visual Lounge, is we want to help you learn, grow, and develop. Whether you're a creator making YouTube videos or you're making videos for whatever purpose, go. Be as Picasso said, steal the great ideas and make them your own, of course. So we hope you take a little time to, you know, refresh yourself, renew your ideas, go grab those best ideas that you can out there, and take a little time for yourself to level up every single day. Thanks, everybody.